This is Space Like Adventure, a Sounds Like Adventure actual play all about a ragtag group of misfits overcoming their corporate overlords in the Expanse. Hey there. It's another episode of Sounds Like Adventure. It's me, Jack. Hey, how you going? Thanks for joining us for episode 3 of Space Like Adventure. It's our actual play of The Expanse RPG, and let's get into another one. So, over the last two episodes, you met Shrike and Mo, the first two characters in our new cast of players for this campaign. And we're going to keep it rolling, and we're going to introduce you to the third member of this party. And it's another new cast member this week. This week we're joined by Arlo, aka Arlentric, on every platform that you could find on the internet. He's actually one of the biggest creators in the TTRPG space right now, making awesome short form sketches. Check him out, but it's so exciting to have him joining us on the show. So his character is named Flint. He's a former Martian naval officer, but something went wrong. And when he joins our story, it's his first day on the Ice Hauler. Let's get into it.
Commander Wilhelm, this is Flint Bancroft reporting in from the... Hey, Dad. It's me. I'm honestly not even sure how long it's been. The whole past few weeks have been a bit of a blur. I need to talk to you. I'm not even sure what I'm meant to be doing on this ship, Dad. They never told me what it is that I'd be doing role-wise. I don't think I can do this without you. I have and always will follow your orders without question. And I do trust you and believe in your vision, but this all just feels so confusing. What happened to my crew? I was told the ship was lost, but that doesn't even make any sense. And now all I feel is this crushing guilt and confusion. Why did you put me in that position, Dad? What are you telling me? Maybe I'm being a bit too dramatic about all of this. Perhaps I should just take a page out of your book and be the hero and leader that this ship needs. I'm not even sure this message will reach you. Hey, maybe it's better if it doesn't. But if it does, please, give me something. A sign, a word, anything to help me make sense of this. I need some direction. And I need my dad.
Shuttle departs Tycho Station. It flies T-Kettle, small bursts of steam adjusting the ship's trajectory as it slowly matches the orbit of a hulking ice hauler. And one passenger sits alone in the passenger bay. Arlo, why don't you introduce us to your character?
I am playing as Flint Bancroft. He is a early to mid-30s Martian. He's got strawberry blonde hair, a very military-style haircut. Pretty well-built, pretty handsome fella. That is the easiest way of describing him. And yeah, that's him.
So you press stop on your hand terminal, the recorded message to your father fading out, leaving you in the silence of the shuttle's cabin. And as the shuttle departs, you sort of catch a glimpse of the bustling docks through the window of Tycho Station, which has been your home for the last week as you waited for your first day on this ice hauler. And you feel the gentle push against your back as the shuttle accelerates, which reminds you of your destination. What's going through Flint's mind at this point? He's just listened to this message again.
Probably a lot of confusion, I think. Throughout most of Flint's life, he's felt very comfortable and confident in what and why he's doing and why he's doing what he's doing. This is probably the first time that there's a sense of directionlessness and just where do you go when you don't even know what the first step is or what you're meant to be doing from here. So he's a very uncomfortable but also trying to put on a brave face.
And do you think the message that he was just listening to, do you think he's received a reply to that message?
No. Not at all, no. No form of acknowledgement of receipt, even.
So the ice hauler comes into view and you see the huge cargo holds waiting to be filled with ice. The docking procedure begins and you hear a series of clanks and hisses in your ears as the airlock seals and you hear like a final thud. And, you know, that's like the last part of the docking sequence. And you have like a moment before the door opens and you're going to meet whoever is going to greet you. What do you do?
I think Flint almost softly says to himself, Bancroft's always put on a brave face. And he stands up kind of almost preparing to do like a ship handover kind of vibe. Gets up looking as well postured as he can and kind of ready to see whoever's going to be on the other side of that door once it opens.
So the door slides open with a hiss and there's a tall silhouette framed in the doorway and the voice booms out to you. Oh yeah, you and your loader. Figure. They step into the shuttle. His tall frame bends as he ducks through the door. You notice that he's wearing a jumpsuit. It seems a few sizes too big because it's rolled down to his waist. And on his chest is a white singlet, very dirty. And he starts to speak and he says, hey, the name's Joey. Welcome to the bounty.
Flint, I think confused by messiness of the uniform. It's not something he's used to. For a second, he's a bit lost, and then quickly reaches out his hand firmly. Captain Flint Bancroft, pleased to meet you.
He like extends his hand in like a fist bump and like pounds your hand.
It's that awkward open hand fist bump, doesn't quite get there, and then he quickly closes his fist to correct it. Kind of nods to himself, like, all right, that's how we do it here.
So he doesn't seem to notice and he's like, hey, well, all right then, Koyo, the captain sent me down to collect you, take you to your bunk, so follow me, I guess. Let's go.
Okay, yeah, let's do that, Joey.
So he leads you out of the shuttle and you follow along and he leads you into the airlock of the hauler and he cycles the door closed and you're left with like a few moments while you're waiting. And it seems like Joey was knowing this pause is coming and he just rounds on you immediately. So in your loader, I hear you're a bit of a pilot, eh? A bit of a fly boy.
I think Flint's very just, it's the most informal conversation he's had with somebody that he's assuming has some form of piloting role as well. He goes, yeah, I am quite the pilot. What is it that you do here, Joey?
Well, I'm a pilot too, you know. Joey the junior pilot, that's what they call me. You know, maybe we could, you know, have a few drinks, swap a few stories, you know. That might be fun, that'd be good.
If you're a junior, who's your senior pilot?
Oh, you know, it's a bit of a different crew for you. We'll get into it a little bit later. I'm sure you'll meet them. But you know, I talk to the pilots. You sort of hang out with your whole gang, your whole squad.
Okay, Joey, this might be a bit of a ridiculous question. What is it that I'm doing on this ship?
Salvage squad, my man. You know, you get out there, buddy, grab a few things and salvage around. You know.
I think Flint's, again, it's a very, I think Flint's a bit shattered by the realization of what he's now assigned to do on this ship. Kind of, I think it is very awkwardly silent for a few seconds and then he kind of puts on another brave face. Of course, yeah, they need a bit of muscle out there to help them salvage.
And you note that Joey seems like he's quite a few years younger than you, probably still in his teens. And he says, well, you know, Joey, he started out on the salvage squad and, you know, after a few years, You could be like Joey.
I think that deflates Flint more than anything in the world. Yeah, like a few years, you said, in the salvage squad. Cool. I'll be like you one day, Joey. That sounds great.
And the airlock eventually cycles and you follow Joey and you look over sort of the narrow hallway that you're walking down, see lots of cables streaking the walls, some coloured lines that lean to different areas of the ship. You notice a sign pointing toward a ladder that says the ops deck, another one on this floor that says the machine shop, and another one also on this floor saying lower bunks. And he starts leading you towards the lower bunks. And eventually you arrive in this hallway with like a lot of doors that are evenly spaced, almost like a hotel hallway, but they're like way, way closer together. And he takes you up to one of the doors and he says, "Hey, this is you, Flyboy."
Appreciate it, Joey. Just one thing before I assume you're going to leave me. Is there a comm station on this ship or anything? I feel like I'm going to have a fair few voice recordings to distribute and would love to get in touch with whoever the communications officer might be on board.
Yeah, I think we're getting like a new communications officer soon, actually, around the same time you're starting. So I'll let you know. First thing, I'll let you know as soon as they arrive.
Great. I'll make sure to familiarize myself with them when they come on board. Thanks. Thanks again.
Well, let me show you the bloody room. It's, you know, we're friends, right?
We are.
So he gestures towards the door and there's like a panel on the side that you can key to open it.
I think he'll try it as non-serious of a thing this is. He'll try to do that very professionally in keying in the code to open the door.
So it opens and it slides open with a hiss, and inside the room is a small space. It's about 2.5 meters square. It's dominated by a crash couch, and that's going to be both your bed and your safety harness, and a seat as well if you want it to be. There's also some storage compartments, places to put your things, stuff like that, but pretty spartan space.
Is it safe to assume this is a significant downgrade from what Flint would probably be accustomed to?
I don't think you would look across this as like disapprovingly or anything like that, but you might be just like, oh man, I wish it was a bit I wish this couch was a bit newer.
Like, yeah, sure. I think to that then Flint will kind of, okay, I guess, home sweet home.
You drop the bags off and you hear Joey click his tongue. Bloody airlock, always giving trouble. All right, better now than never. Let's go. I'll show you how we keep the vacuum out.
Yeah, I'm guessing Flint has bags with him or something that he'll just throw into the room. Let's get straight into it, I guess.
So you follow Joey back to the central ladder that leads up to the ops deck, but instead of taking you up to the ops deck, he takes you down the ladder one floor to another set of airlocks. And I wonder, like, as your eyes go past the ops deck, like, what goes through Flint's mind in that point as you're sort of taken away from it?
I think his autopilot is to go up the ladder. He probably does a step up and then realizes Joey's going down. There's a sense of probably a half second look of longing to going up, and then realizes this is his new reality, and then kind of progressionally half little sigh out and then follows Joey down the ladder.
So you climb down the ladder and you're in this sort of secondary deck with these smaller airlocks than the main airlock that you came through earlier. And Joey starts to speak again. He goes, "So it looks like there's something wrong with this panel. So can you go over there to the other panel on the outer door?" No, don't go outside, but just on the other panel. I'm going to do some diagnostics over here on this panel, and yeah, we'll just see what happens. Can you do that for Joey?
And you wanted me to do that?
So I'll do the diagnostic, and then you just tell me what you see on the screen.
I can look at a screen. Okay, I can do that for you, Joey. Let's.
And yeah, he gestures over to the airlock for you to go into.
Great. I don't think Flint's ever had to do anything like this. Maybe outside of study at some point. But yeah, he kind of heads on into the airlock, I guess.
So you make your way inside, and it's just like, it's basically the inner door of the airlock that leads into this deck is open and the outer door is closed. Either both doors should be closed or one should be open, but it shouldn't be like just permanently open like this. You make your way over to the panel that's next to the door, and through the window of the door, this is where you sort of probably get the first bit of perspective that like, okay, I'm actually on the edge of the ship here, because you can see the vacuum of space outside the window. So you look out there, you're not new to space, so you wouldn't have been totally overwhelmed by that, but you're like, oh, okay, here we are, that's where I am. And you look down at the screen, and there's a big lock icon on the screen, and there's text on the screen that says lockout.
Oh, okay. Flint relays that back to Joey. Joey, it says here it's a lockout or something like that?
Again with the bloody lockout? All right, you just... I'll see what I can do. You just look at the screen.
He starts tapping away on the panel on his end. And you're looking at the panel. It's like nothing's happening. And you sort of wait for a while and still nothing is happening. And I guess like your mind probably just like starts to wander a little bit. So what's going through Flint's mind is in this sort of first free moment that Joey just isn't like machine gun talking at you.
It's probably one of the first times outside of the, I guess, the travel across into the actual hall that yeah, Flint's kind of just exploring what his thoughts actually are. It probably feels very, I've taken 14 steps backward here with where I wanted to be in my life. And it's not, again, I think it's that sense of slight defeat in, I don't know. I don't want to be here for years to get to a point that is still behind where I was. So, a bit of sense of is this what I'll be doing for the next few months to years of my life? Looking at lock screens and hauling stuff. That sounds horrible.
So you're suddenly disturbed from this train of thought as you hear the sound of the inner airlock door shutting and the PA clicks on and you hear the sound of Joey's voice.
Oh, no.
Joey, what's an oh-no? Not familiar with... What are we oh-knowing? Why did the doors close?
Joey comes back and he's speaking extremely quickly. He says,
listen closely and you'll have no time to explain. The airlock is cycling. You have 20 seconds to get a vac suit on before the airlock opens. I'm locked out of the bloody system. You need to move now.
Okay, yep. Flint's in action mode. Let's try and get this suit on in 20 seconds, I guess.
All right. Do you know where to look? What's the first thing that goes through Flint's mind to try and find a vac suit?
I mean, if it's equivalent to a Martian ship, it would, and he knows if it's that kind of symmetry, he'd look for where he'd expect it to be on a Martian ship.
So it wouldn't be as logical as where it is, but you would expect there to be a storage locker that has some vac suits. So you'd quickly scan the room, find a storage locker close to the outer airlock, and assume, I bet there's some vac suits in there.
Great. Yeah, so Flint would rush over to that. I'm assuming that would just be easy open, and if not, trying to smash open a lock if there's one there.
Yeah, so you just throw yourself at this storage locker and just rip it open. You find three vac suits inside.
I don't think he'd, because of the time sensitive, I don't think he's looking at sizes. I think he's just grabbing the first one and hoping it's the one.
Okay, give me a dexterity test here to see how well you can get the suit on. No target number on this. Let's just see how you do.
Come on, Flint. Don't die right away. It's a total of 12.
Hey, that's a very good roll. So you move like you are part of the suit itself. The suit is part of you. You're the picture of Martian Navy efficiency at this point. Even Joey's impressed, who is not really impressed by this kind of stuff. Joey's voice comes back over the PA. He says,
all right, in you later. 10 seconds to go. Now, I need to tell you, the ship is in full spin. That's why we're all not on the float right now. And, you know, we're all stuck to the deck. And when that door opens, if you're not hanging on to something, you might go flying out of there. So, in a word, hang on to anything you can.
OK, Okay. You mentioned when we went in the room there. Okay, that was stressful. You said there was like big pipe-ish things. Are they gaps that I can fit my hands around and kind of? Oh, that's going to be a horrible grip. What's the grippiest looking thing?
Yeah, dude. Let's get a perception check from you here to see what you can find. Again, no target number, but we'll see what you get based on how well you roll here.
And a total of 11.
You are rolling well.
Rolling really well when I need to.
So, yeah, you make a quick scan. You notice there's like an internal maintenance hatch and you probably use your mag boots, anchor yourself and grab the hatch's handle and you're just like ready for decompression.
Okay, yeah. I think this is all a bit more exciting than I was expecting this to. There's probably a wee bit of a rush of, okay, this is... Not expecting this on day one. And he rush over, put on his mag boots, clink himself, grab onto the hatch door. All right, Joey, we're ready to go here. Any other tidbits or last bit of advice?
Hold on. In your loader.
Roger that, I guess. Holding on.
He comes back in. He says,
door opening in 3, 2, 1.
The sound of the airlock releasing the air of the room is all you hear before silence. You brace yourself, ready to be thrown into space, eyes shut against the terror of being thrown into the void. But nothing happens.
Oh.
And surprisingly, a sound breaks the absolute silence of the void. Over the radio you hear,
Flynn.
Hello?
Standing before you in the doorway of the airlock is a figure in a vac suit. You can't make out who they are as the stars glare off their helmet's tinted visor, but you know the voice. It's the voice of Savine, the chief engineer of the Ice Hauler. You met him this is the one person that you've met from the ship already, very briefly. And he speaks again.
Son. What the hell are you doing in the airlock?
Savino, I was just following Joey's instructions. I'm pretty sure I was about to get thrown into space.
Joey's voice crackles over the PA and he is just dying of laughter.
Sorry, you loader. You just seem so bloody wound up, you know. I thought you could just listen up a little bit.
Joey, you son of a bitch. That was a funny one, though. I think he's going to instantly release and kind of just fall to the ground. Okay. Hi, Savine. Good to see you again.
And Joey, speaking to Savine, says and goes,
and boss man, there's no way a bloody over the airlock unless he had the vac suit on. I'll walk out. I'd bloody do the whole thing. It was me. It's a joke. It's bloody funny.
Said Savine chimes in here.
Look, Joey, if you try something like that again, I will put you in an airlock without a goddamn vac suit. You think your buddy Shrike would be happy about that? If I space or bestie?
Joey goes quiet at that. He goes,
that's what I thought. Get back to work, Joey.
You hear Joey sort of grumble away, and the two of you are sort of left standing in the airlock together, both in vac suits.
I think Flint will kind of get himself up off the ground, if he was on the ground or whatever the depth of what was about to happen, and go over to Savine. Look, I understand I'm the new person on the ship. It's probably just a bit of crewmate hazing. Don't need to go too hard on him. But I appreciate you sticking yourself out like that for me. It's all a bit overwhelming, so thank you.
Don't worry about Joey. You know, he's a good kid. He's probably just trying to impress his buddy, Shrek. I'm sure she probably think this whole thing's pretty funny. It's kind of funny the more you... Anyway, you meet her. She's good people. But uh, Let's get back in the ship, eh? Let's cycle this goddamn airlock.
I would appreciate that immensely. Let's get out of this damn airlock.
And he, like, keys something on, like, the panel of his vac suit, and the door opens. And as it opens, he removes his helmet from his vac suit, and his sort of thick, dark hair falls over his brown skin. And he says, "All right, you can take that off now. It's fine."
I think, yeah. Flynn will proceed to take his off as well.
So what does Flint look like after this ordeal?
I think more red than he intended to. He's probably very sweaty. You can see his hair is probably flat with the amount of sweat and stress that was running through his head, although it was an exciting, more exciting experience than he cares to admit. He was terrified because this was, in his head, a boring gig to be thrown into, and it instantly became a life-threatening thing in a matter of a few seconds. So, yeah, very flustered, red and sweaty.
So you follow Savine out of the airlock, and he gestures towards some crash couches on the deck, and he sits down on one and gestures for you to sit next to him.
Yeah, Alfred takes a seat.
He goes, "Well, looks like you got here a little earlier than I thought. I wanted to meet you myself, but looks like Joey gone and got me beat there. And look, I wanted to talk to you because, you know, now I was born a Belter, but my family, we was one of the first to settle Mars, and that's where I grew up. So I want to let you know, as a fellow Martian, it's just great to have you joining the crew."
"I wasn't aware that you were a fellow Martian, Savine. That's fantastic to... It's good to know that. I'm not sure how many other we have on the crew here, but that honestly means the world to know that there's another Martian on board. So appreciated, and good to note. I'm thankful that you're here as well.
And one of your renown as well, I must say. And I'm not all that plugged into Martian politics, of course, but I do know your surname anyway. I must say, I know your daddy. I know of him. And I would have thought someone like you would have ended up on the military track. But why are you out here with us?"
I think Flint looks visibly like a bit like he tries to catch his words and speak carefully. Definitely, it's definitely for trying to follow in daddy's footsteps. I guess the military life just turns out it wasn't for me. So, trying to build myself up from a couple of poor decisions I've made and re-find myself, I guess.
"Well, look, Flint, when you wind up on a ship like this, you know, things ain't really going to plan. You know, every one of us on this ship, we've done things and we've seen things, and now here we are. So, you know, look, as far as I see it, you share with us what you want to share, and we'll do the same."
"Definitely feel like we'll be having plenty of chats. I mean, I feel like once I'm a bit more comfortable with my surroundings over a fair few drinks, I've got plenty of stories to share. It's all very new and overwhelming for me at the moment. So I appreciate your courtesy and dealing with my closeted approach to sharing information about myself."
So he turns to you and he smiles and he puts his hand out.
Flint reaches out and gives him a firm handshake.
Grabs your hand and he shakes it. He says, "All right, Flint, welcome aboard."
"Good to be part of the crew, Savine. Good to be part of the crew."
And then he says, "But first, one question. We're all friends here, all right? That was pretty scary. Be honest. Did you piss yourself?"
I think Flint very deadpan looks Savine in the eyes. He's like, "Potentially just a little bit. Just a little bit. It was a lot. I mean, I kind of thought I was flying out into space, so maybe.
Joey. Get them out."
And there you go. It's another one, episode 3 of Space Like Adventure. Now, Flint's got some skeletons in his closet. He's been through a lot. But he might have just found a little home here in an unexpected place. We'll see what happens. Hey, we've got another great episode coming up next week and another person to introduce you to. We're going to be meeting Derek's character by the name of Trevor. He's got a heart of gold and fists of steel. And to make sure you don't miss that episode, head over to the podcast app that you're listening to this on right now. Subscribe to or follow the show. And hey, if you're brand new, why not go back and check out some of the old episodes? There's two previous seasons. And if you like the whole sound design thing that's going on here, I think you're really going to love what you hear. But hey, with all that in mind, I'll catch you in the next episode of Space Like Adventure.